Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your love. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for all that you are doing in us. We thank you for your blessings upon our lives. Lord, we thank you for your grace that is sufficient for us. We say, be thou glorified forever in Jesus' name. Lord, we have come together to look into your word. We have come to learn at your feet. Lord, I am asking that as we begin to consider the teaching of today, let your spirit breathe upon us this morning. Let your presence rest upon us. Let there be impartation of grace, impartation of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Let your anointing flow through the teaching, and let everyone that hears this teaching, let them be revived. Let there be a reviver in every heart. Let there be a reviver in every soul, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. So I welcome all of you to this prophetic training class, and I believe that as we start the training today, I believe the Lord will begin to reveal himself to you in such a way that your life will never remain the same again. I believe God will start a powerful work in you that you will never recover from. Yeah, because he's the God of all flesh, and there is nothing impossible for him. There is nothing impossible with him. So, just a brief introduction. This teaching is going to continue for a long time. I can't say for how many months, but we are going to be having it on Tuesdays and on Saturdays. And this teaching is not only for those that think they have a prophetic calling. I mean, this teaching is not only for people that believe they have been called into the office of a prophet. This teaching is for every minister of God, because we are all meant to be prophetic people. Every Christian is meant to be prophetic and apostolic, every Christian and every minister. So this training is for every minister, because it's going to help you to become more effective in your service to God as a minister, and it's going to help you to draw very closely with God. I mean, it's going to strengthen your close walk with God. Yeah, that is what I'm talking about. So this morning I'll be talking on the first call. The first call. You know, many times we talk about, many of us, we focus on the second calling. And when I say the second calling, I'm talking about God called me to be an evangelist. God has called me to be a pastor. God has called me as an apostle. Those are second calling. But there is a first call that many Christians don't pay attention to. And if you fail in the first calling, I don't know how you will succeed in the second call. So the first calling is much more important than the second calling. Now, when I say the second calling, I'm talking about you being called to you being given a particular assignment, a divine assignment to do, of which you know that all these ministry offices, fivefold offices, they are all about divine assignment. So before that second calling, there is a first call, which I think you should know about, but I don't want to assume that you know about it. I want to assume you don't know about it, because as a teacher, I have to start with you from the foundation, so that by the time I begin to build upon that foundation, you don't get confused, and so that you'll be able to be established in the truth. So that is why I'm starting from the foundation. So we'll be looking at the first calling, the first call. So I want us to look at the book of Matthew. If you are with your Bible, I want you to look at, I want you to open to the book of Matthew chapter, the book of Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 3, from verse 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 3, from verse 1 and 2. It says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So John the Baptist was announcing the first call, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that is the first calling. Now Jesus also sounded the same call in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus also sounded the same call. Now the Bible says, from that time Jesus began and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus began to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the first calling is a call to repentance, is a call to salvation. So the question I want to ask you is, have you answered the first call? And another question is, do you know the Lord that have called you? Do you know the Lord? Do you know Jesus that called you? And does he know you? So there is another question, because today many people claim to know him, but he doesn't know them. Now, does he know you? Now, if you look at the book of Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, it says that the people that know God shall be strong and they will do exploits. And then in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, God was speaking concerning Abraham. He said, can I hide such a thing from my friend Abraham? Because I know him. I know he's going to train his children in my ways. I know he's going to lead. I know he's going to lead his children. Yeah, that was what God was speaking concerning
That was what God was speaking concerning Abraham. So the question is, does God
there is one
know you?
And 13 participants in this conference.
Yeah, the question is, does God, does Jesus, does he know you? That is the question. So, and that is the first calling, is a calling to know the Lord, to know him, and a calling also for him to know you, just like an husband and a wife. You know your husband, for instance, as an husband, you know your wife, and your wife also knows you. So the first calling is to know him, and also for him to know you. Now, some of you might be saying that, is it possible that God doesn't know me? Yes, it's possible. There's a place in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said that some people will come to me on the last days, and they will say, Lord, in your name we have cast out devils, in your name we have healed the sick, in your name we raised the dead, we did mighty miracles in your name. And Jesus, we look at them and said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. That's what the Bible says. So it's possible that Jesus doesn't know people, despite the fact that people claim to know him. So the first calling, the first call, is a call to know him, and also for him to know you. So how does he know you? He knows you by your faithfulness, your obedience to his will, your commitment to his work. He knows you after he had tested you. He knows you after he had tried you, and yet you did not sin, you did not fall. That is how he knows you. When the enemy created temptations in your life, and those temptations could not bring you down, despite the temptations and trials, you still stand your ground on the truth. That is how Jesus will know you, that surely this is my son, surely this is my friend. So that is how he knows you. So we want to look at the details. The details of this first calling. What does this first calling entails? Number one, if you're writing, the details is that, number one, the first call is a call unto discipleship. Is a call to be discipled by the Lord. The first call is a call unto discipleship, according to Luke chapter 9 verse 23 says that, maybe I should read, I just want to be very fast. Luke chapter 9 verse 23 says, I'm coming, Luke 9 23, it says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That is what Jesus said. That is the first calling, is a call unto discipleship. So the question is, are you ready to be discipled by the Lord? And if you want to be discipled by the Lord, you must deny yourself. You must take up the cross daily and follow him. You must deny yourself and take up the cross and follow him. To deny yourself means to forget about yourself. You look away from yourself. You don't think about yourself. All that you think about is God, his will, his purpose, his kingdom. So that is to deny yourself. It means it's no longer you anymore. Whatever you do, whatever you say, wherever you go, every step of your life is no more about you. It's now about the Lord. So it says carry the cross, carry the vision, the assignment that has been given to you. Deny everything that you have, everything that you have, and follow him. So that is the cost of discipleship. It means not your will, but his will. Not your will, but his will. Now you might be asking in your mind that how does all this connect to the prophetic ministry or to the prophetic calling? As we begin to proceed, you will know how they connect, because the reason why there is so much pollution and deception in the prophetic ministry is because a lot of these so-called prophets, they have failed in the first call. It is because many have not known the Lord. Many prophets we have today, prophets, they have not a relationship with the Lord. They were not disciples of Jesus. They were not disciples of Jesus. So that is why you can fail. You can fail in your calling if you have failed in being a disciple of Christ. I repeat, you can fail in your calling, in your ministry, if you have failed in becoming a disciple of Jesus. Yeah. In becoming a disciple of Jesus. So the first call is a call to become a disciple of Christ. And a disciple does not seek his own will. A disciple does not have an ambition. A disciple doesn't have an ambition that this is what I want to become. As a disciple, you don't have an ambition that I want to become a major prophet. I want to become the greatest apostle on earth. It is Jesus that determines what you become. It is not you who determines what you become. All that you have to do is to surrender all. Is to lay down your life before him. Then he will do whatever he wants with your life. So that is the first call. And now another point here is that it is a call to die and keep dying. According to Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, the first call is a call to die and to keep dying. Apostle Paul said that, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. So meaning that he said he has died with Christ. But he said, nevertheless, I live. Say, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. So you have to come to a point that you yourself, you no longer live. You are now living the life that Jesus gives you to live. So you have to come to a point when it is not you that is living anymore. When people look at you, they see Jesus. They see the lifestyle of Jesus. They see the nature of Jesus. They see the character of Jesus. They see the behavior of Jesus. They see what is in Jesus. That is what they see in you when they look at you. So you need to come to that point when you have died, you are dead. And the life you have now is the life of Christ, not your own life anymore. So that is the first calling. And this is the foundation of a strong prophetic ministry. If you fail in this foundation, you are definitely going to fail. I mean, I am 100% sure that if you fail to manifest the life of Christ, you will surely fail in your prophetic calling or prophetic assignment. You will definitely fail. It's not a cause, because that is the foundation. That the Bible says that the foundation remains sure, that God knows those that are His, and everyone that is named after Christ should depart from iniquity. Everyone that calls him or herself a Christian, you must live like Jesus. You must become like Jesus. You must hate sin and you must love righteousness. So that is the second point. You must die to self and you must keep dying to self. You must die to the flesh and you must keep dying to the flesh. And then the third point is that the first call, it is a call out of the world. It is a call to come out of the world and out of all the things that is in the world. According to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the first calling is a call to come out of the world and to come out of the things that is in the world. That verse says that he said that 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 was talking about that all the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He said, we should not love this thing. He said, do not love the world. Do not love the things that are in the world. If any man love all those things, that means there is no love of God in the heart of that person. So if you will obey the first calling, you must not love the world. And you must not love the things that are in the world. You know, today we have a generation of Christians that have become so married to the world. We have become so glued to the world systems. All that we think is the world. All that we say is worldly. We so much love the world that we sinned against God just to feel at home in the world. I mean, you want to become a citizen of the world, but you don't want to become a citizen of the kingdom of God. So that is the kind of Christians we have today. Worldliness has taken a stronghold on our lives. We dress worldliness. We think worldliness. We eat and drink worldliness. Everything we do, worldliness. We go to parties, worldliness. Everything, worldliness. So that is the problem. We want to have mansions, cars, beautiful things, and we don't care whether God wants us to have them at that time or not. Whether God even wants us to have them at all, we don't care. We just want to have things that other people in the world have. But we don't want to have the kingdom. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom. And after you have done that, then the kingdom will make you have other things. But we don't seek first the kingdom. Now we are seeking to have other things in the world. So that is a problem, a serious problem with this generation, even with pastors, with ministers. Pride, the pride of life. We want to look beautiful. I'm not saying it is wrong to look beautiful. It is not wrong to look beautiful, but not at the expense of your faith, not at the expense of disobeying God and His commandments, not at the expense of going against the standard of Christ. You want to look beautiful, yes, it's good, but are you known by God? Do you seek the kingdom? The things that you have, how did you get them? Many of us, we get things the wrong way. We get things in the unrighteous way because we just want to have them. So we don't care to do anything to have them. So the things you have, how did you get them? And have you really gotten the real thing? What is the real thing? The real thing is the kingdom. Every other things in this world, they are nothing because they will end. But there is something that does not end. There is something that when you lay hold of it, you will continue with it forever. And that is the kingdom. It is the most precious thing you can ever have, the kingdom of God. The Bible says the kingdom of God is likened to a treasure that somebody found in the field. And that man went to sell all that he has in this world to buy that field. Because that man found something in that field that is so greater than every other thing he has ever had. So that is the kingdom. So precious, so treasurable that you should lose all other things just to have it. I mean, if you have to lose other things, you should be willing to lose other things to have the kingdom of God. So let us be careful as Christians, because I know many of you are Christians. So let us be careful with our Christian living. And let us be properly rooted and grounded in Christ. Because this is when God can trust you. When you have the kingdom, you have everything. When you have Jesus, you have everything. You know, in the days of the apostles, there was nothing Jesus wanted that he doesn't have. At a point, there was no bread. There was no bread to feed the people. He said, "What do you have?" That is the power of the kingdom. He said, "Bring the little bread you have." And he blessed it, and the bread fed thousands. At the point there was no money, he said, "Go to the river, go and catch a fish. Go and catch a fish, and you will find money in the mouth of the fish." So when you have Jesus, you can have every other thing easily. But the problem with this generation is we don't want Jesus. It's other things that we want. And the reason is because we think the way of God is foolish. We think the way of the Lord is too slow. Because many of us, we are so fast. We want to get a lot of things fast. I want to get married very quickly. I want to have a child very fast. But we can't wait on the Lord. We can't wait on God's time. That is how we fail, many of us. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So I continue. Another point is the first call is a call to be with Him. To have an intimate fellowship with the Lord is a call to be with Him. It is not a call to be with your pastor. It is not a call that you draw closer to your to the prophet in your church. You become so close to the man of God. It's a call to become so close to Jesus, not to anybody. It's not a call to become so close to your church and your pastor's family. That is not what I'm talking about. And that is not what God is saying. The first calling is a call to have a direct relationship with the Lord, a very strong relationship with the Lord. You know, many people, when they come to me, they say, prophet, I want to know about my calling. What can you see? What can you see about my calling? The first thing I tell them is, how is your own personal relationship with God? How is your own connection with the Lord? That's the first thing I began to ask them, because that is more important than whether you are an apostle, whether you are a prophet, you are an evangelist. Your close walk with God is much more important than any other thing, any other title you can have. So in Mark chapter 3, in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, Mark chapter 3, verse 14. Mark chapter 3 verse 14, it says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. So the first calling is that he called them to be with him, to be with him, to have a relationship with him. And after that, he might set them forth. It doesn't say he will sent them forth. He said he might send them forth after they have been with him. He might sent them forth. So there are many people that they have not been with the Lord, but they want to be sent forth. It is not possible. It is not possible. You have to be with him. You have to be with him for a long time. These people, they were with him. For instance, they were with him for 3.5 years. And even after that, it took some time before they began to go out to preach. So the question is, have you been with him? Before thinking about you, before thinking about you going out there to heal the sick, before thinking about you going out there to prophesy, to cast out devils, to raise the dead, have you been with him first? That's the first thing. Have you been with the Lord? Have you been with him? Do you know him? Do you hear from him? How strong is your relationship, your fellowship with him? So these are the questions you should ask yourself even before thinking about going into the ministry or manifesting in the calling. So another thing, in Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, verse 41. Luke 10, 41. I read, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. listening to what he says. Why Martha was just busy with activities. You know, many of us, we are just busy. We are too busy with activities. Too busy. I mean, some of you are too busy with your business. You are too busy with your job. And you forgot the place of fellowship with God. I mean, the place of personal fellowship with the Lord. Because you are too busy. Many of us, we are too busy with the work of God. Too busy with preaching. Too busy with ministering to people. But you have forgotten the place of prayer. The place of a relationship with the Lord. And actually, that is the strongest place. Because that is your secret place. That is the place you should not forget. In fact, that is the most important place to be in the world. In the presence of God, in the secret place of God. So we forget that. So if you have forgotten that, I am challenging you today to go back to your secret place where you commune with God. Yeah, for hours. So now another point is that the first call, for those of you that are writing, this is the fifth point. I started number one. I said the first calling is a call unto discipleship. Number two, it is a call to die and to keep dying. Number three is it is a call to come out of the world and all that is in the world. Number four, it is a call to be with Him, to be with Jesus. Number five, it is a call to transform and to change. It is a call to be transformed. To be transformed. To be changed to something different. For instance, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, it was talking about making. It says that follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So there is a making that happens in this first calling. You are being made. For instance, I'll take my own case as an example. For instance, I have known that I have discovered my calling since around, let's say, 2008. Let's say since around 2008, I have discovered my calling. But I have passed through a lot of making process up to this very day. So since that time, I didn't go out to start a ministry. I didn't go out there wanting to become one of those pastors. I was called to be made into the person that God will use. So there is a transformation that happens. And this has been happening for many years, like 2008 till now. That is more than 10 years. And this has been ongoing. So I can say maybe it is now in this year I'm trying to start a ministry. Like trying to start the ministry. Let's say this year. But I have been called like 10 years ago. So you can see the process. So the first call is a call to be made. A call to transform, to be transformed. And for instance, in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 2 to 6, Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 2 to 6, it was talking about the potter and the clay. The potter and the clay. And God was talking to Jeremiah that can the house of Israel, can they become like this potter, like the clay in my hands, that are they not like clay in his hands? So you must be a clay in God's hands. You must let God break you. You must let God break you, mold you, reshape you. You must allow God to do something on you. I mean, something that is going to make you into the person He wants you to be. Many of us, we want to move in miracles. I mean, we want God to use us to do miracles. We want God to use us to see visions. We want to be caught up into the third heaven. We want to see angels. We want to hear from angels. We want to see divine revelations. We want to have divine encounters. Yes, everybody wants to have that. But how many people want to be a clay in the hand of God? How many people want to be broken down? How many people want God to reshape their lives? Because it is a painful process. There are many things that God had to remove from my life. For me to become what I am today, I didn't just become this overnight. There are a lot of things that was taken away, a lot of things that was added. So there must be a breaking, that you must be broken down. You must be reshaped. A lot of things must be removed from you. If they are not removed, God will not use you as He should. And those things you want to see, you will not see them. Because if you are not worthy, there are some things that will not happen to you. I mean, there are some realms you cannot encounter. There are some realms in the spirit you will not get into if you have not been properly molded to enter into those realms. So there must be a transformation. That's what I'm talking about. Just like you cannot survive in the deep sea, you can't survive in the deep sea if you don't become like those creatures that can go into the deep sea for many hours and survive for many days, years. So what I'm saying is that for you to survive under the sea as a human being, you must become like a creature that can survive right there inside the sea for months or years. So the same thing applies to the kingdom. For you to enter into some realms, you must let God make you. And this making I'm talking about is not nice. It's a painful process. It is a painful process because God's going to be taking away from you the things that you so much desire. God's going to be removing from you those things you so much care about, because you're not going to need them. Yeah. So that is it. Now, another point number six. The first call is a call to love Him. Is a call to love Him, to follow Him, and to serve Him. Is a call to love the Lord. It's a call to follow the Lord, and it's a call to serve Him. For instance, in John chapter 21, verse 15, Jesus Jesus was talking to Peter. He said, Peter, do you love me more than these things? So the first call is a call to love Jesus. It is a call to follow Jesus. It's a call to serve Jesus. Yeah, so this brings me to another point. You know, there are many Christians today, they don't want to serve. They don't want to serve. They want to stand alone. Before you can stand alone, and that is even if you will stand alone. I mean, before you can have your own church, for instance, that is if you will have a church. Before you can have your own ministry, you must have served. You must have served in some places, in some capacities. So the question is, what are you even doing in your church now? You want to become an apostle, a prophet, but have you served? Have you served people? Have you served Jesus, even in your church that you are right now? Have you joined the prayer team? Have you joined the evangelism people? Do you go out to preach? Have you served? Because a lot of the transformation is going to happen while you're serving in a church or in ministries, while you are faithfully serving Jesus. That is how you will be trained and molded and transformed. But many Christians today, they just want to come out and become the major prophet, and they want to become the chief apostle, but they don't want to serve under somebody. They don't want to serve under a pastor in a church. They don't want to go out and preach. They just want to start appearing on the TV. They want to start appearing on the news as the greatest prophet, but they are not ready to serve. So you must serve. You must serve. It is a kingdom principle. You must serve. So you must serve in your church. If you probably God is not leading you to your church, look for places to serve the people of God, to serve and do things for God. So that you must do for a long time. Yeah. Even before you will now be released to start doing some specific assignments for the Lord. So you must have done a lot of work for God. For instance, myself, I have served and I'm still serving, even under a church. And also, I have been into some missionary exercises. I mean, some missionary work. I mean, we go into villages. We go into the villages to preach, to win souls. I mean, I'm talking about a village where everything there is not convenient. You don't have a good place to sleep. You get beaten by a lot of mosquitoes. Sometimes we go during the cold weather, very cold weather. So all these things is going to make you the person that God is going to be using later in the future. But you don't want to suffer for the gospel. You're not ready to suffer on the mission field for the gospel, and you want to become the greatest apostle. Is not possible. You have to start from somewhere. You have to start from somewhere. So you can start from intercessory assignment. You can gather people together and start interceding. You can start as the Holy Spirit lead you, start serving God or start serving the kingdom. Start serving in some capacities. Yeah. So that is it. And then the next point seven, yeah, I think it's point seven now. It is a call to learn of him. The first calling is a call to learn of him. It's a call to learn of Jesus. For instance, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." So the question is, how much have you learned of Jesus? How much of Jesus have you learned? You know, some time ago, I thought I have learned of him. But when I begin to see him in other ways, then I knew I have not learned anything at all. So how much of Jesus do you know? How much of the kingdom do you know? So it is a call to learn of him. It is a call to learn of him. So you must learn of Jesus. So how much revelations of Jesus do you have? How much revelations of Jesus do you have? So we need to study the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. You must be addicted to that. You must be addicted to studying. You must be addicted
There is one host and 16 participants in this conference.
Yeah, I mean you must be addicted to Bible study. You must be addicted to studying the Word of God and to meditation. So every exercises that will help you to get God's presence, every spiritual exercises that will help you to get God's presence and to get divine revelations, of which I believe you know how to fast. I believe you know how to pray in the spirit. I believe you know how to worship God in spirit and in truth. So every exercise that is going to get you into God's presence and that will make you to learn of him, you have to do them a lot. And it is as you do these things that you start growing in the revelations of him. And then the next point which I think is going to be the last point I will talk about today. The next point is it is a call to be strong, and it is a call to make war and to win. The first call is a call to be strong. It is a call to fight and win. According to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 11. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 11. The first calling is a call to fight and win battles. The Bible says that be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So that is it. The first calling is a call to fight and win. Many Christians, we are so weak in spiritual warfare. Even when it comes to living a holy life, most times we rise and fall. Rise and fall. Rise and fall. I mean, today you are pleasing God. Tomorrow you have sinned against God. And the following day you please God. The next day you sin against God. If you are like that, you are not going to go, you are not going to do well in ministry. You are definitely not going to do well in ministry. You must be stronger than your weaknesses. You must be stronger than your weaknesses. You must be stronger than the devil, stronger than the witchcraft in your family. You must be stronger than the powers of darkness in your environment. All the powers trying to choke you, trying to defeat you, you must be stronger than them if you will fulfill your ministry. That is the first call. Many of us, God had to take us through some serious battles. And God stood by us. And he showed us how to fight. He showed us how to fight. And we fought and we won. So we had to be exposed to terrible warfare in the realm of the spirit. And God had to train us through that battle. So the battle is meant to train you, to make you strong for what God will be using you to do in the future. Whatever battle you're facing now, the plan of God is that you come out stronger. The plan of God is that you come out stronger and victorious, so that you will be strong enough for the assignment he would have for you. So the battle must not overcome you. You must overcome the battle. You must be strong. You must be strong. It is not an option. You must be strong. And you must be stronger than the enemy. That is how God prepares you. That is how God prepares you for his calling upon your life. For instance, myself, I learned how to make war in the midst of battles. That is how I learned how to make war. I mean, right in the midst of battles. That was where God was training me and teaching me how to fight and how to win. And I've dealt with powers. I've dealt with principalities. I've dealt with terrible demons in the place of prayer. And I won. And that is why God can send me to anywhere. Because he knows when I get there, I'm going to win. So we must be strong. Is also very part. Is an integral part of the first calling. So I am going to stop here. If there are questions, if you have questions, I think I will look at them. I will look at those questions and I will answer. This post, for those of you listening to me from Facebook, this particular broadcast is going to be on my profile. So just look for it and ask your questions in the comment, and I'm going to answer your questions. And for those of you on the conference call platform, I just
ask your questions on our WhatsApp platform, our WhatsApp group. Send your questions there, and I will take time to answer them, because I don't want to keep us waiting for so long. Yeah, so I'm gonna stop here, and on Saturday, the same morning hours like this, we will continue from where we stopped today. There are still a lot for you to learn in this training, a lot, and it can take us up to many months. It can take us several months to finish this training. But if you really want to learn, I'm telling you, there is a lot to learn in this training. God bless you. Now let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the first call. We thank you for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We thank you, Lord, for subduing the enemy under our feet. We thank you for this passion in our heart. We thank you for this love in our heart to serve you, to walk with you, to do your will. Father, receive glory and praise forever in Jesus' name. Lord, I am asking that everyone listening to my voice right now, I am asking that you begin to do a wonderful work in their lives. I am praying for you that the Lord shall begin to do a great work in your spirit. And that work shall transform you into that person that will bring revival to this generation. In the name of Jesus, the Lord shall change you into a powerful instrument of revival for this time that we have. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
All participants are unmuted.
Amen.